inside information, Maine's best guest list, and the home of smart sports talk. Live from Seasons Restaurant at 427 Main Street in Bangor on The Pulse, AM 620, WZON, and online at WZONThePulse.com. This is Downtown with Rich Kimble.
Hey, welcome in. It's the 5 o'clock hour of Downtown on a Thursday, second day of July, the 944th Downtown. And for a lot of people, the weekend is here with tomorrow a holiday for a lot of folks. Either way, glad to have you aboard on Downtown, The Pulse, WZON, WKIT, HD3, all around the world at WZON, ThePulse.com. Downtown's presented each afternoon by Hollywood Casino, Hotel and Raceway, 500 Main Street in downtown Bangor, home of the Celebrity Bar and Grill. Monthly specials and a robust menu with your favorite American grill options. Open every day at 11:30. The Celebrity Bar and Grill, Hollywood Casino, 500 Main Street in downtown Bangor. Let's kick off this 5 o'clock hour by talking Red Sox. And to do that, we're joined on the Tiller and Rye telephone line by our friend Eric Avedon from the Metro West Daily News. Eric, good afternoon.
How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm surviving watching these Red Sox. They get within six, they get our hopes up, and then the Porcello factor kicks in. What in the world can they do with this guy short of a fake injury that lands him on the DL for a stretch?
Well, they can certainly skip him the next time through the rotation. They have 2 days off next week. So if they wanted to manipulate the rotation, they could actually get all the way to the All-Star break without starting him again. Just give him a bit of a mental health break if they wanted to. Although, just looking at some pregame comments from John Farrell today, it sounds like they might be willing to skip him once, but not have him go all the way to the All-Star break without starting again. I mean, that's one thing. Just, you know, just give him a little time to catch his breath. Another thing is maybe the return of Ryan Hannigan will help him to have a veteran catcher. Strong presence behind the plate who maybe will force him to throw his two-seam fastball more often than his four-seam fastball rather than Blake Swihart, who's a rookie, you know, and doesn't command quite the respect, or Sandy Leon, you know, who's a career backup who was DFA'd by the Nationals, who also doesn't command quite the same amount of respect. So that's a possibility. Maybe Hannigan's presence will help somewhat.
There have been some positive signs. They actually went 500 for the month of June and playing a little bit better of late. Is it enough to have them even with contention in the second half?
Yeah. I mean, they're only seven games out right now. It's you know, everyone is all bunched up in the division, just a few games over 500 with the exception of the Red Sox, who are a little bit below 500. It's not like anyone has run away with this thing. They are playing better, like you said, 500 in June. I think they're 6-4 in their last 10. You know, they took two out of three from the Rays. They've taken two of the first three games so far from the Blue Jays. Those are good signs because they had been horrible against division foes up until these last six games. They're hanging around. Yeah, you can't say they're out of it yet. They're too close to do that. You know, another month from now or, you know, trade deadline, you know, 3.5 weeks from now, whatever it is, maybe you can say that. But right now, they're still too close to say that they're really out of it.
Well, if they do hang around and if they're within five, six, seven games at the deadline, I have to think they'll be buyers of some sort. And while a few weeks back I thought starting pitching might be the top priority, yeah, they still need that. But that bullpen's getting a little bit thin. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Tozawa has been great, but they're using him a lot. Uehara has been pretty good. But beyond those two, you don't have a great deal. You have Tommy Lane, who's been okay for who Tommy Lane is, but you're not going to expect him to be a real top lefty setup man the way that Tozawa is a real top righty setup man. Maybe Joe Kelly. Provide some help in the bullpen, though. Maybe that's where his real role ought to be. You know, late in the game or later in the game, at least, all of a sudden, you know, somebody's been throwing 92 miles an hour and he comes in with 98, and maybe that 98 finally actually looks fast the way it doesn't appear to be when he's the starter, when opposing lineups kind of time it and tee off on it. Maybe he's the help. I still don't know that they should be buyers at the deadline, because they're not good enough to give away on some of their prospects. It's not like a move or two is going to suddenly vault them into World Series contention. It might vault them into division contention. So a minor move might be something worthwhile. Like you said, something in the bullpen, but certainly not something earth-shattering, not something where they're going to give away top prospects.
Hanley Ramirez back, somehow avoided going on the disabled list. It's great to have his bat back there, but that also means he'll be out there looking lost in left field. Overall, is it a win to have him back in the lineup?
That's a good question, and I don't think anyone really has an answer on that. You look at some numbers, and they say that maybe they're a little bit better off without him. I just went over this last night. They've been 29-39 in games that he's played, and they're 7-5 when he hasn't played. Now, that's a really small sample size of games that he hasn't played, only 12 games. And that includes those games in Tampa and the first couple against the Blue Jays this past week. So very small sample size. Really can't make a judgment based on that, but maybe it says a little something. Something else is that he actually, for all the offense that he brings, he's got a negative war. He's a minus .3 war for the season, and that's because of his defense. Defense is so bad that it outweighs, to a small degree, what offense he brings. Now, the question is, then, who else do you put out there? Okay, Diaza has been great since he's been with the Red Sox, but it's not like Diaza has a great history. So chances are he's going to regress to his level, his water level. Same thing with Brock Holt. Brock Holt's been great, but how long can he sustain it? You look at last year, he was great for the first half and really tailed off in the second half. So what do you do? Are they better without him? I don't know. Nobody knows. That's one of the big questions with this team.
Shane Victorino expected to be back pretty soon, and there's been talk, I guess, of a possible platoon out in right field with Victorino and Diaza.
Yeah, and that makes some sense. Victorino certainly can't play every day. I mean, he's been on the disabled list twice now. He's been on the disabled list this year. He missed almost all of last year. He certainly cannot stay healthy playing every day. Play him half the time, maybe a little bit less than half the time, see what you can get from Diaza with that left-handed bat against righties. Don't force him. Maybe save him for some special spots as well. And maybe you wind up with something decent out there. Maybe you wind up with some decent production out of right field that you might not have otherwise had if just one of those guys were the starter.
Eric Avedon on Metro West Daily News, talking Red Sox here on Downtown. On the downside of things, again yesterday, fourth time I think this year, Red Sox had an outfielder forget how many outs there are in a game. Obviously, that's on the player, number one, but Does management bear some responsibility for that too?
Well, first of all, I think that's a little fluky, especially just the way it's happened in the last couple of days with two players. I think that's a little bit fluky. It happens every now and then, certainly. I think it would be a real problem if the same player was forgetting how many outs there were, multiple times. But if it's one guy and he just does it once, every 5 years, that's not so bad, I don't think. On the good side of both Bradley and Betts this past week, at least they didn't think it was the third out when there were only two outs. And throw the ball into the stands or start running in while
right.
Someone else was running to the bases. At least it was the third out, and they thought there was only, they were still playing aggressively.
Absolutely, and we've seen that happen before. Eric, who do you really like on this team? Just putting your fan hat on and watching, although you are from New York. But anyway, who do you just love to watch because of the way they play the game?
Mookie Betts.
I'm ready.
I really like Mookie Betts. I love his swing, fast, quick to the ball, gets his hips through the zone really quickly. I really enjoy watching him hit. And for a little guy, 5'9 or so, he really drives the ball. And it doesn't seem like he's putting his entire body into it the way that Dustin Pedroia, for example, does, who's a similarly small guy, maybe a little smaller than Betts. But when Pedroia drives the ball to left field, when he pulls it, hits a double off the wall or hits it over the wall, it really seems like it's taking every ounce of energy he's got. And with Betts, it's just so natural. It seems to come to him so easily. And then just the way he's transitioned from the infield to the outfield, you forget almost that this guy was a career second baseman up until last year. I mean, he has looked really good in center field. Maybe he's not Jackie Bradley Jr. in center field, Gold Glove caliber, but I think he's got that potential when you consider that this is his first full season playing the outfield.
I'm with you.
So that's the guy that comes to mind when you ask that question. I really enjoy watching Mookie Betts play.
I agree completely on that. Eric, have you circled September 5th on your calendar yet?
Oh, is that BC Maine?
BC Maine, college football season opener, baby.
Absolutely. I love it. So we're almost exactly 2 months away, 2 months and 3 days.
Yeah. I'll be there broadcasting the game if you want to get together and compare notes.
I would love it. I think you're one level below me in the press box. I think you're on 5 and I'm on 6. But, in the food line, let's chat and get together. That'd be awesome.
I am one level below you in so many ways, Eric.
Oh, please.
Hey, we love talking to you. Eric, thanks for making time for us, and have a great holiday weekend.
Absolutely. Happy 4th of July to you and everybody up there in Maine.
Eric Avedon, Metro West Daily News, talking Sox with us here on Downtown.